You're listening to Backstage at Lyric, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes at Lyric Opera of Chicago. Backstage at Lyric features in-depth interviews with the singers, conductors, and creative talents at one of the world's great opera companies. For additional podcast interviews, subscribe to our RSS feed or visit us online at lyricopera.org.
Tenor William Burden is backstage at Lyric.
There's so much about these characters and about this piece that does stay with you that you then bring to everything else you've ever done, because none of us will ever do anything like it again, and yet it sort of taps into every place within us as performers.
Thank you for downloading this episode of Backstage at Lyric. I'm Roger Pines of Lyric Opera of Chicago. In this episode, I have the pleasure of speaking to the remarkable American tenor William Burden, who's portraying the crucial character of Alva in this season's new production of Berg's Lulu. You'll hear not just about Mr. Burden's challenging role in Lulu, but also about his feelings for this provocative opera and his work with the gifted artistic team that's putting the production together. Before we play the interview, here's a brief synopsis of Lulu. What's happened before Lulu begins is that Lulu, in her early teens, is found on the street and taken in by Dr. Shun. He's a respected newspaper editor. He gives her the wherewithal to have a decent life. When she's a few years older, he begins an affair with her, but then he chooses to marry her off to old Dr. Gall. In the opera's prologue, an animal tamer introduces his animals, and Lulu is the serpent. In the opera's first scene, when Dr. Gall discovers Lulu and a painter making love, he collapses and dies. The painter then marries Lulu, but she continues her liaison with Dr. Shun. But he plans to marry a young woman from a respectable family. When he tells Lulu he wants her out of his life, she's unwilling to give him up. He tells the painter about his affair with Lulu, and the miserable painter kills himself. At Lulu's insistence, Shun gives up his fiancée. He marries Lulu, although she continues to receive many admirers, including the wealthy Countess Geschwitz and Shun's own son, Alva. Lulu's behavior so enrages Shun that he finally gives her a revolver and orders her to shoot herself. She kills him instead. But even though Alva's horrified by that, he still can't resist his feelings for Lulu. She escapes the police by running away with Alva and Geschwitz to Paris. When she has to escape again, she winds up in London as a poor streetwalker. Alva is killed by one of her clients. Lulu brings home another client, Jack the Ripper, who kills her. Geschwitz is killed by Jack as well, and she dies declaring that she will be with her beloved Lulu forever. Now, on to the interview with William Burden. I hope you enjoy it. I'm here with William Burden, who has returned to Lyric Opera after an absence of, what, 10 years?
Almost 10 years.
Yes.
Yes.
To sing the role of Alva, which is a very important role in Berg's Lulu. Well, how are rehearsals going?
They're going great. We are up and running on stage at this point. It'll be interesting to see once we sort of put all of the elements together, the orchestra and the costumes and the sets. Tomorrow we have our first piano dress rehearsal, which usually means everyone spends a lot of time tripping and not being able to open doors and not in the right outfits. But it's usually fun rehearsals.
It's very important in Lulu, isn't it, that the doors function where they're supposed to.
The doors function, and I think just about all of us change costumes each time we leave stage.
Wow. Now, the first time we talked about Lulu, which was many months ago, you said that you were anticipating that this was going to be a phenomenal evening in the theater. So based on what I've seen and heard so far, it seems to me that that expectation is really going to be fulfilled.
Absolutely. I'm very fortunate at this phase of my life, my working life, that I get to do a lot of operas that function as strongly as a piece of theater as they do a wonderful piece of music. And Lulu is very much falls into that category.
Now, I've been listening to it a very great deal lately, and I'm completely in love with the piece, which I never expected would be the case. I mean, are you also?
Yeah, it's something that has developed over the course of the rehearsals. There are absolutely exquisitely beautiful moments, and then a lot of it is just extraordinarily intense. And when I was first working on it, those extraordinarily intense moments seemed a little bit daunting, and I wasn't sure really how to wrap my head around them. But they've truly become now a part of this wonderful piece.
I mean, this role of yours is very demanding, isn't it? Is it the highest role in your repertoire?
Well, I'm not sure tessitura-wise, because it actually it sits very low in some parts. At the very end, actually, I sing basically baritone, having just done a quartet where I do have to sing a lot of very high tenor. This season, I'm also singing Lindoro in L'Italiana, and that probably sits, just from the standpoint of where the role lies for the entire evening, that's probably about the highest.
I was thinking that would have been the case. I mean, even though you are singing Alban Berg, does that mean you're still warming up with Mozart or Rossini? I mean, does your whole routine change on the basis of what you're actually singing?
Not really. I warm up the way I would warm up if I were singing any other role that I would do. I usually try and find in a role the very specific things that I'm going to need to call upon over the course of an evening, the vocal demands in particular, and then my warm-ups I try and tailor to those specific things. But I don't change how I sing ever. I sort of feel like from a technical standpoint, there's pretty much one way to sing, and that goes for all of us. And what you do with that technique and what aspects of your voice you're called upon to use in any given role changes. And that's what you have to be aware of. And that's what warming up for me really is. It's touching base with all of those different aspects depending on the role.
Okay, you've played any number of really complex characters on stage. I mean, you just finished doing Captain Vere and Billy Budd, and they don't come more complex than that. But
right. In
terms of Alva's whole situation, doesn't he occupy a sort of special place among people that you have portrayed in terms of his what he's dealing with emotionally?
He does. He takes probably the longest journey of any of the characters in this piece because he definitely changes the most. From his first entrance in the piece when he is, we see him as a very young, somewhat put upon son of a very domineering father, all the way to the end of the piece where he basically has gone insane. He's lost his mind because he's lost everything else that has ever had any meaning to him. His family, this woman for whom he's given everything, and even his own health and sanity, because by the end he has contracted some sort of terrible venereal disease that is ultimately going
to
kill him.
That Lulu gave to him.
That Lulu gave to him via someone that she caught it from,
uh-huh.
And that she does not exhibit symptoms.
Interesting.
So
he is a composer.
Yeah.
Does that affect his function in the story at all? Or?
Only in the sense that he's given an opportunity because his father pays to have it done for Alva to write a piece that will star Lulu. The sense we get in working through it is that Alva's probably a fairly mediocre composer and has done everything he's done mostly because it's been paid for by his father. And then finally, when his father is murdered, he sells his dad's business and sort of reaps great financial rewards from that, which ultimately they all lose. But he then goes off with Lulu to help her hide from the police.
Now, it clearly makes no difference to him that the woman he is in love with, Lulu, has had an affair with his father for years.
Right. That's definitely something to struggle with a little bit. I think mostly he is just blinded by the fact that he wants to provide for Lulu something he's never seen her receive from any other man, including his father. And that is, in addition to the sort of physical possession of her, I think that Alva truly does care for her and want to protect her. He really wants to be able to provide an emotionally safe place for her to exist. It's also the same kind of love that the Countess Geschwitz actually offers to Lulu, but obviously from a different standpoint because she's a woman, and Alva is the only man in the story who actually does want to be emotionally involved with Lulu in addition to just possessing her physically.
Well, what are we supposed to feel for – what would you like us to feel for him by the end? Because, I mean, he really is sort of a hanger-on. I mean, he follows her to Paris. He follows her to London. And once they get to London, she is supporting him as a prostitute. So,
well, actually, it's – I'm not sure I agree with you that he follows her to Paris. He flees Germany with her to Paris to protect her from being recaptured by the German police after having helped her escape from prison for killing his father, which is twisted in its own way. But he actually goes with her to Paris where they have quite an extravagant life that he is providing because of the money he received when he sold his father's business and also whatever he received from inheriting after his father was killed. So the hanging on part definitely does exist in London. By the time we've gotten to London, they've lost everything in a huge financial crisis, which strangely rings too true these days. And Schigolch, the Countess, Alva, and Lulu have all found their way to London. And the only way they seem to be able to come up with some means of sustenance is for Lulu to prostitute herself. By then, Alva is very sick and has also pretty much gone round the twist.
So I actually want to make very clear to our listeners, you mentioned before that there are exquisite moments to listen for in this piece, but can we be specific about that so our audience will know what they should be listening for to understand how beautiful this music can be?
Well, from a selfish standpoint, at the end of Act Two, after Lulu has just escaped from prison, there is some really, really beautiful music in an extended duet that my character has with Lulu. When Lulu first gets out of prison and shows up back at the apartment where we had last seen her when she was arrested, there is some music that really I can describe only as ecstatic. It is just, it's extraordinary the way that it just sort of blooms and the orchestration is magnificent. And it's this really, it's almost Straussian moment, you know, those sort of wonderfully ecstatic moments that you find in Strauss operas. And that extended duet is also very, very beautiful, very challenging, but almost bel canto.
Is it a love duet of a kind?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's a love duet. I mean, it's a very sexual love duet, but it's very much Alva expressing his deepest feelings for Lulu.
You're working with Paul Curran, who did your Billy Budd at Santa Fe Opera last summer. What are the qualities that you saw him bring to that piece that you see him using again here in this new production of Lulu?
Well, with these two very difficult pieces, he brings not only incredible knowledge of the works themselves so that we as artists can trust him, but also a wonderful sense of a willingness to let us really enjoy the process, to let us have fun as we do it. These very, very heavy, very emotionally dramatic pieces can sometimes spiral off into very dark places. And he is a director who is willing to let us get a little hysterical in rehearsals, which is great. And really important, I think, when doing a piece like this.
Can you give me an example where that
happened? Oh, I mean, I wish I could give you a specific example, but we have spent a lot of time laughing in rehearsals, in addition to these, sort of dealing with very dark material. It's just kind of great when something does go awry, which it does, and everyone's emotions are very keyed up. The release of laughter is something that he encourages in a rehearsal, which is terrific. The other thing he does that I really can't value highly enough is that he makes it very clear that he loves singers. He has a respect for what we bring to the equation, and he actually trusts us as performers, as artists and performers, to bring what we have to bring to the process. And it feels very collaborative, which is a wonderful way to work on a piece like this.
You mentioned that there's a lot of laughter, so I assume that means that you don't necessarily take this piece home with you, that you can sort of leave it at the opera house.
On some level, you have to be able to leave it at the opera house. I think, though, that – and it's something that I've heard our wonderful Lulu, Marlis Petersen, and also Wolfgang Schoene, who's done this role, his role, for years. Both of them have said that Lulu never does really leave you. And it actually becomes, there's so much about these characters and about this piece that does stay with you that you then bring to everything else you've ever done, because none of us will ever do anything like it again. And yet it sort of taps into every place within us as performers.
You mentioned Marlis and Wolfgang. I mean, between the two of them, they probably covered at least 20 productions in Europe of this
piece. Sort of decades of Lulu.
And nearly all of your big scenes are with Marlis or Wolfgang. So what do you most value in preparing your first Alva with them? They're also native German speakers,
right,
which is helpful.
And they are incredibly supportive, which is great. That's been fantastic. There's never been a sense that they didn't have the patience to deal with the newbies, those of us who haven't ever done our roles before. And they also bring a sense of calm into the rehearsal process when the rest of us, or I guess I should speak for myself, when I'm freaking out about the rhythms or the notes or just sort of getting it all put together and the language, they have a very calming presence because they're very comfortable with whatever situations, you know, are sort of being thrown at them. The other thing that's kind of wonderful is that because this piece never gets set in a way, they make mistakes sometimes, which also just gives us incredible relief to, you know that they have feet of clay occasionally, very occasionally only, but it's good to know that it's a piece that really, that everybody grows with constantly.
I happened to hear the last, I suppose, 10 minutes of the opera the other day, and it seemed to me that Marlis was singing this piece as beautifully as if she were singing Mozart, which I think is quite a remarkable thing.
Right. But I'm not really sure how else you could do it. If you don't approach this piece as lyrical, beautiful, sung music, and you approach it either from too strong a dramatic place or without enough of a respect for what it is musically, I think that it would be almost impossible to do. I mean, I really do think that, I mean, I hear it described by people who sing Wagner all the time. Huge, huge orchestras, huge, long nights in the theater, and they say you just have to sing it as if it were Donizetti or Bellini, but with the style with which you would sing a Wagner opera. So again, this goes back to what I was saying before. I don't sing things technically differently. I have my vocal technique, but I do in this role have to call on certain things that I wouldn't have to call on to, say, sing Peleas, which doesn't have the vocal demands that this piece does, but has a whole different set of musical and dramatic demands.
Now, it's clear to me that our music director, Sir Andrew Davis, who's conducting this production, is the biggest fan of Lulu.
So absolutely.
How is he guiding the cast in terms of your musical approach?
With a wonderfully steady but giving hand. He is, I can equate it to riding a thoroughbred. I imagine you have to have a very strong and steady hand, but the willingness to let the horse run its race. And it seems to me that that's very much the way he is approaching this piece. He is very clear. He's giving great direction and instruction throughout the course of the piece, and yet is letting us experiencing it with our own instruments and with our own sense of where we are with the piece too. It's wonderful to have a conductor who so clearly loves a piece so much.
We didn't mention one element of your characterization that I think is fairly important, which is that you're speaking on the
right
stage. Is this the first time you've had to speak German in?
No, I've had to speak German in Zauberflöte and Führung. So in Mozart operas, but and dialogue is something that I've done in quite a few pieces.
Did you consciously prepare, like in your formative years as a singer, when you were studying, did you have instruction in the speaking voice? I'm always curious about that because some singers are very into it and some singers speak on the stage very reluctantly.
Right. I was incredibly fortunate as a new singer. I studied with a woman named Margaret Harshaw, whose experience was huge. And she made it very clear when I did my first dialogue piece. I sang Candide in graduate school. And so I had to do dialogue in that piece. That dialogue has to be spoken on stage with the same kind of support you would give to a sung phrase. And by doing that, you don't tire the instrument. So really, it's for me physically, it feels like singing, but speaking instead of actually intoning.
Now, is there anything else that you would like to say to our listeners to entice them to this very exciting new production of Lulu?
I would say definitely treat yourself to reading the story in advance, to getting a little – this is a piece that can wonderfully benefit from some background. You don't have to do a lot of preparation and a lot of study. But if you read the story ahead of time and familiarize yourself with the piece just a bit – it will allow you to truly take advantage of letting this piece speak to you in the thousands of ways it will.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Backstage at Lyric, the podcast that takes you behind the curtain at Lyric Opera of Chicago. For additional interactive content and to order tickets, visit us online at lyricopera.org.